My name is Graham Atwell. I'm a researcher working for Pontardesky, which is a Welsh-based company. We look at how we can use technologies for supporting learning and for supporting knowledge exchange. I've been working around ideas around communities of practice since, I guess, the late 1990s. Say around 1998, we started discussing some of the ideas coming from Jean Leave and Etienne Wenger. Now, at first, when the work came out on communities of practice, we essentially saw it as a research aid. It allowed us to describe and recognise what was actually happening, especially how people were learning informally and how people were learning in the workplace. And you have to remember that a lot of our understandings of learning, at least at a theoretical level, were more orientated towards the formal learning, which takes place in courses. So this is a big breakthrough. But then as the 1970s came in, we started thinking, well, can't we go further than this? If we know how communities of practice are formed and what happens in communities of practice and how learning takes place and informal learning takes place and how knowledge is generated, can't we actually use those ideas to start the process, to kickstart that process, to support it and aid it and make it happen? And then, of course, as computers started being widely used, then we said, well, we can go a bit further than this. We can actually bring together communities of practice which are dispersed, which aren't always in the same workplace, where people don't always gather together, as the Americans always say, around the water cooler to share their practice together. So we started trying to consciously build communities of practice. Now, I've been involved in about 5, 6, 7 projects where we've tried to do that with varying results. Sometimes we've had some brilliant things have happened, other times not so brilliant. And so I've been sort of thinking about why. Well, one thing is, of course, you can't make a community of practice happen. You can facilitate its emergence. And I think the emergence is the key word. Communities of practice are made by communities, not by people producing computer platforms as say per se. But of course, those communities can and sometimes do take ownership of the tools that we provide them, and hence that allows a community to emerge. But I think there's another problem. There's two words which are critical here. One is communities and one is practice. And my feeling is that over the years, we've tended to talk about communities more than we've talked about practice. And we've tended to conflate together the idea of community and organisation. And of course, in the original understanding of community of practice, any organisation could be comprised of multiple communities sharing different forms of knowledge. And in fact, what Etienne Wenger originally said is that a community of practice is defined along three dimensions: what it's about, which he says is its joint enterprise as understood, and continually renegotiated by its members. And I think that continual renegotiation by its members is critical. And note, that's not continuously renegotiated by either managements or well-meaning researchers, but by the members themselves. How it functions, the mutual engagement that binds members together into a social entity, and what capability it's produced, the shared repertoire of communal resources, which includes routines, sensibilities, of course, artifacts, vocabulary, styles, etc., that the members have developed over time. And I think that time dimension is very, very important. We try and launch a community of practice. We try and will it into being overnight. And communities of practice develop over time. So it's a group of people who share a concern or a passion for something they do. And during their interactions, they get to doing it better. Okay, but then we've got to go back to what that practice is. And we have to understand, I think, the nature of social practices within the workplace through observable patterns of individual practice, and hopefully, and I think this is our way forward, by developing an overall pattern language. And of course, that pattern language would include the objects which are used within a community. And carrying out practice very often means using very particular things in a particular way. I think one way to choose ways to develop those objects is to focus on what Jeroen Elstenck, who was actually involved in a lot of the original research in Europe on communities of practice, defines as core problems. The problems and dilemmas that are central to the practice of an occupation that have significance for both for individual and organisational performance. So I think those objects have got to have significance. The social practices have to be. Now, Michael Erro's also looked at communities of practice, and he's pointed out that much uncodified cultural knowledge is acquired informally through participation in social activities. And that means, actually, it's often just taken for granted. People don't consciously say, I am a member of this community of practice. It's by taking part. It's by the social practices which happen all the time. And, of course, that's a very broad social phenomenon, much broader than socialisation as such. And we have to understand how cultural knowledge that permeates the beliefs and behaviours of co-workers, clients and the general public come out and are expressed within a community. Michael Erro, I think, tried to codify the different elements of practice. And whilst probably not true for all situations, I think it's very useful for a lot of the work we're doing. And he puts forward four different elements. Assessing clients' situations, sometimes very briefly, but sometimes involving a long process of investigation and continuing to monitor them. Deciding, if any, what action to take, both immediately over a longer period. Pursuing an agreed course of action, modifying, consulting and reassessing it as and when necessary. And at the same time, a metacognitive process of monitoring oneself, people needing attention and the general progress of the case, problem, project or situation. And I guess that's often what we call reflection. So metacognitive monitoring oneself or reflection on one's own practice. And I think that reflection on practice is once more both an individual and a collective action. So yes, I think we can facilitate communities of practice. Yes, I think we can design software processes, but I'm very aware that the nature of that design is quite a tricky business. And I do think there's a lot of attractions in the idea of pattern languages to understand the patterns, the social patterns of social practice, which we're trying to support. And I do think sometimes there's a danger that we develop a web platform which actually doesn't support the social practices, but is just a place where people can exchange ideas about practices. Now, that's okay, but I think for communities of practice to succeed, then I think that the tools which we develop have to be tools which are artifacts in themselves of the practices we're seeking to support. Now, that's difficult, it's challenging, and it's well worth doing. And it's well worth doing within the context of lifelong learning, because at the end of the day, if lifelong learning is seen as critical to our social, our economic, our learning futures, then we have to develop support for that lifelong learning. And that's what I hope we can do. I know it's an awful lot to have got into a very short podcast, but I hope it makes some sense to any of you who are listening to this. And if you'd like to talk more about some of these ideas, I'd always be delighted to talk